All right, it's another Sunday Night Live. We're going to talk recruiting. We're going to talk a little bit about the Georgia game, and I got a special guest that I think you're going to enjoy.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. And we're going to do it like we always do on Sunday nights. Dive a little bit into recruiting, have a little bit more fun talking about the game, open it up to the chat, and let you guys ask away, fire away. But I got a special guest tonight. It's none other than the brand new, it's kind of weird, I can't say new commit, but it's like a brand new 2025 future signee, Cale Ellis from Cartersville, Georgia, beast of a center, or I'll let you tell me if it's going to be center. Thanks for joining us, bud. I really appreciate you jumping on kind of last minute. How you feeling? How you feeling after the big announcement today?
Great. Definitely a big relief for sure. Just wanted to get it off for a while, so I'm glad I got to.
Go ahead and get that out there. I love it. Before we jump into the questions, Cale, glad you're here. But before we jump into the questions, I got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. If you've already got your retirement, your savings, all that in order, you don't know that you're making all the right decisions. You don't know if it's performing at the optimal level. You got to give Ford a shout at retirementresults.com/plan. He'll give you that free portfolio analysis. That's a $1,500 value most places. He'll do it for you at no cost. Tell him we're Eagle. Tell him I sent you. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. So, Cale, whenever I was coming up, reclassing was not even really a thing. Like, that's just not a big thing. And now it seems like it's becoming more and more popular. So my question is to you, at what point in time do you know that reclassing is going to be a thing? Like, how soon do you have to be planning to be able to pull this off? I mean, you're basically skipping – not only are you skipping a grade – but you're enrolling early. I think you're coming in December or January, correct?
So since with my school, it's kind of difficult because I have to have a whole nother semester of classes.
Okay.
So won't be until May.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'll be signing in December.
Okay. You're signing in December, enrolling in May. Like, but how soon do you know that this is something that you're either A, want to do, or how, like, is this something you just found out, or is this something you've been planning for a while? Like, how does that whole process work?
I kind of made up my mind that I wanted to do it like first week of August, right after I came back from Big Cat. Cause I mean, the Auburn staff since early June, I had a little workout there one of the days for camp. I think it was June 9th. And the coaches kind of brought it up to me then. And I didn't really think much about it. And then Big Cat, I came the day before. Hung out with Coach Thornton and Coach Cox, the GA, and we were just talking, and they were being for real about it. Like, they were serious talking to me about it, and I came back home after and thought about it, and he explained a bunch of pros and cons to me, and I was like, I mean, it sounded too good to be true, and I mean, I kept praying and thinking about it, and I eventually just decided, and the Auburn staff, they really knew. It was before the Alabama A&M game. I'd probably say the whole staff knew like the week before that.
Gotcha. And you just obviously went official with it this past weekend. So where are you? I think everybody sort of believes you'll end up being, you know, like the next in line center. Like, what's your sort of vision, or what do they talk to you about where you translate to at this level and, you know, what you've been working towards, I guess?
They definitely see me at center as a replacement of Connor Liu. I mean, that was one of the big things with me reclassing, was getting a year behind him. Just, I mean, he's going to play in the NFL one day. He'll play there for a long time. And I just think getting there and getting under him is really, really big. And I mean, they see me at some guard. Like, Coach Thornton's big on putting the five best out there.
Sure.
17-year-old, you see skill guys reclassing nowadays, but it's really rare to see an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, because in the SEC the trenches are different. So that was a thing I had to think about, just if I'm ready for that. I would say, because I'm 16 still.
Yeah. So,
Coach Thornton, I asked him that. I had a deep conversation with him. That he said he thought I was ready strength wise and stuff like that. So, but again, if I'm one of the five best, I could play guard, or it could help Connor's draft stock to play guard if NFL scouts want to see him, his versatility to play a different position more than a center. So I could slide in at that spot. But either way, they plan on me redshirting and then be ready the spring of 26.
I think that's really smart, because I looked at it like kind of like you have it the same way. You're looking at Connor Lou, and you know he's on the trajectory of going, you know, into being a potentially a really high draft pick after his junior year. They love those. If you can be a 2.5 year starter, basically, that's just putting so much good film on. And then if it was stated the way it was, you would have come in as a true freshman, you know, your first year. And this gives you a whole year under your belt to be lifting weights, getting in shape. Not that you necessarily need it. I mean, you're already, you know, you already kind of look like an SEC lineman already. But getting that college weight room, into that college program, a year under your belt, I think that's huge. And then, like you said, hey, there's nothing that says you can't play guard. There's nothing that says you can't, you know, rotate in between those as well, if you're ready, if you're coming in ready to go. So I think that was obviously a really smart move. It's just crazy, man. It's just, I just didn't even think that this would become a huge thing, but now kids are like, you're 16. It's crazy. So when you report to Auburn, you will be how old?
I'll be 17, freshly 17. I turned 17 in April.
Sure. So you're at the end of April. So your whole freshman campaign, you'll be 17 years old. That's crazy. But you see it now. Kids are coming in more ready. You got, I mean, Ryan Williams is, you mentioned that skill guys are a little bit different, but these guys coming in that play at really good programs, play really good competition, kind of come in ready to go. Cartersville. Okay. Auburn's got a little bit of, you know, Auburn's got a little bit of Cartersville flavor. That's Ronnie Brown territory. But y'all went to different high schools though, right?
Cartersville's our rival school.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So your high school's Cass, is that correct? So same classification, same town, like cross city rivals. So you're going to, have y'all already played that game, or is that played at the end of the year?
Just played this past Friday.
This past Friday. Gotcha. So you're going to miss that next year. So that's going to be, I know that's going to be, it's tough to miss those rivalry games, but all in all, I think it's a great decision. So I got a question talking about recruiting. So you were a big foundation to get the 2026 class going. I think you were the second commit or first. You were the first. Yeah, I remember you and Denarius Gray were close around the same time. So you were helped kickstart that class, and you know y'all went off right around Big Cat weekend, just reeling off commit after commit after commit. So I know now you're into the 2025 class. So I guess you've seen both sides now. You've seen guys that got a couple of years left, and now you're talking with guys that are coming in next year or this fall, a lot of them that are coming in December. The results on the field, a lot of times I think people want to point to previous schools like Florida and some other schools where when the results on their field aren't quite what you expect, I think the fear is classes sort of fall apart or whatever. People come calling, it kind of is what it is. How are you? So you're sort of on the fence of both. How are you going about helping, you know, keep everybody together? I guess you're probably still working the 2026 class as well. So how are you handling that and going about doing that?
I think Coach Freeze does a good job with communicating with us and letting us know that we can come in and really change the thing. I mean, with the 24 class, with how stacked they are and how many players are playing so far this year.
Yeah.
But he does a good job letting us know that we can come in and stay together. We talk, all of us talk every day. Like, I think when you have a really good relationship with each other, you stick. And I mean, it doesn't give us any point of leaving. And then with the 26 class, we have a bunch of good recruiters in there, like Jamichael Garrett. He's a really, really good recruiter. So I think, obviously, I tried to do a good job leading that 26 class with recruiting, but now him being the head of that, I think he'll do just a fine job with that. So
love it. Getting guys like like Deuce Knight in the fold, that doesn't hurt. Like being able to get that quarterback in the class, I think that obviously helps a lot as well. So who are you focusing on? Like I know you have a big class. I guess you make 26 now in that 2025 class. There's not a ton left out there to go add, but like who are you working on? Like who are some guys that they're big targets now that you're in this 2025 class, you guys are pushing, you have relationships with, you know, how's that whole thing working? Who are some guys you're looking to go land?
I've been pushing on Andrew Babalo for golly a long time. And I mean, I think we're in a pretty good spot with him, but I've been talking to him for a couple months since he's really been on our radar. I'd say since late May, early June, and just been pushing him to.
He's a tough one to get a read on. I feel like is that true?
He's one of those kids that he likes his alone time. He doesn't like being on the phone a lot, which is a good thing. Really, he doesn't like being consumed with all that stuff. But he's a great kid. He'd be a good kid to have in our room. And the next one, another lineman, Nelson McGuire. Yeah,
Nelson McGuire.
Late, but he's a ball player. He can play tackle, guard. He's very versatile. So I think getting those two would be huge.
So did you kind of grow up an Auburn fan, or is this just sort of how this whole thing worked out with the recruitment and whatnot?
So I grew up a Florida Gator fan.
Okay.
I'm originally from Florida. My family's Florida fans, but recruiting, I just fell in love with Auburn. And
yeah. Well, if you followed Auburn over the past several years, offensive line has been sort of a bugaboo. Like it seems like they've had a hard time really being able to land good offensive linemen. And one way to correct it is to go get a full class across the board of just absolute studs, you included. So I think Auburn, it looks like they're doing everything they can under, you know, with Hugh and whatnot to right the ship on this offensive line. It's been sort of mystifying that Auburn struggled to get offensive linemen. But you guys, this could be the class that sort of flips the script a little bit. So I'm fired up for you guys. I'm fired up for you to go ahead and get this thing done, get it in early. And I don't want to take up the rest of your night. I appreciate you jumping in, my man. And tell them how they can find you on social media, support you. All the fans just love on you and tell you how much they appreciate you.
You can get at my Instagram. My Instagram's at Kale Ellis, all one. And then my Twitter is KaleEllis78. So
there you go, man. You're going to be, we got about a month before we're back in town. I assume you're going to be as first home game you can. You're going to be back. All right. I'll be looking for you on the sideline. I'll make sure to reach out. Again, Kale Ellis, newest old commit, just joined the 2025 class. Everybody's fired up. Glad to have you, buddy. Have a great week, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. All right. So that was Kale Ellis. Fired up to have him in the chat. Fired up to have him on the pod. A lot more recruiting stuff to talk about. I love the note about Andrew Babalola and him, you know, working hard to get him in. I think Auburn still kind of sits in a pretty decent spot, 50-50 a shot. We'll just have to see if you can get him in for one more game. And I think that's what the goal is. Get Babalola in for one of these first games when Auburn gets back. After this long stint away from the stadium, things that we haven't talked about that popped over the weekend. Number one, Deuce Knight committing, absolutely massive. Had a couple of shows on him, but the story behind that I think is pretty interesting. I'm gonna tell that really quick. Talk about Chroma, and then we're gonna hit the chat. So, you know, obviously Deuce was essentially considered a commitment. He considered himself a commitment as early as, you know, game one. Like he came to the very first game. Everybody kind of thought he would go ahead and pull the trigger. He didn't. And the biggest thing about Deuce, I've talked to a lot of people about it, Deuce wanted to make sure 1,000%. He felt rushed. He felt rushed with the Notre Dame commitment. And as bad as Hugh wanted him to be in this class and go ahead and get him in, he sort of kind of let him have Let him have his air, let him breathe, okay, a little bit. But as Auburn started to, you know, have some losses pile up, you start worrying, okay, he hasn't gone official yet. We're sort of losing leverage here. We're sort of losing leverage. He's gaining all the leverage. Okay. So there was a little bit of a back and forth there for a couple of weeks. And then about two weeks ago, Julian Lewis has been in steady contact with Auburn. Okay. That is just a fact. He has been steadily in contact with Auburn. I've told people, I felt like if everything was equal and Juju was allowed to make the decision just based off of where he wanted to go, where he loved the most, I think it would be Auburn. I think it would have been Auburn. But there's a lot more factors. We've heard all the stories, the recruiting, the NIL stuff, the, you know, the dad being involved, whatnot. But Juju has been contacting Auburn throughout this whole time. And about 2 weeks ago, when you don't have leverage, sometimes you have to create your own. And that's what I think. They really started to up the chatter with Julian Lewis. Let it go public. You know, hey, let everybody know we're talking back with Julian again. We're talking back with Juju again. You started hearing guys like Steve Wiltfong, some of the national reporters start talking about it again. Well, now you have Deuce that wants to come to Auburn, but he's taking his time. There's no reason for him to pull the trigger at this point in time because Auburn doesn't have another prospect on the board. Auburn doesn't have any of this leverage. So now you start throwing Juju's name out there, and now Deuce has to make a decision because, again, if Auburn wanted to really put the press and meet the demands, they could have gotten Juju in this class like a few days ago. I think he would have committed if Auburn really, really pushed hard and was willing to play ball, I guess. So you do everything you can there. And I think it was genuine. I'm not saying Auburn's playing games, but you got to put that out there so that you can create some leverage for yourself. And then when it looked like, when it looked like that Juju could possibly flip to Auburn at the beginning of last week, I think that's when Deuce said, okay, let's end this thing. I'm ready to go. And then he popped on a Wednesday, you know, the most random day of the week to announce a commitment, not after a game, not before a game, not on a visit, not anything. He went ahead and got in the class. And I thought that was great on everybody's part. I think it's great on Deuce to go ahead and get in the class and start recruiting. And he did so immediately. You heard my podcast with my interview with Alvin. He basically was on the phone all night with different guys, Naheem Alford being one of them. So they went ahead, getting him in the class is great. It's great that, you know, even though I think the Juju stuff was legit, and there was interest there, and they could have pushed. I think you had to ramp that conversation back up to create a little bit of leverage to help you go ahead and get Deuce to pull the trigger and make it official, because I'm sure everybody started to get a little bit nervous. So that's kind of how everything went down with Deuce. I didn't really have time to go all the way into it. But if you got any questions about that, definitely hit it up in the chat, and I'll help answer them. Usman Chroma, tough loss. But at the end of the day, that's the dream school. That's Georgia. It's hard to beat mama. You know what I mean? That's mama calling you home. That's Georgia. It is what it is. And if Georgia ever decided they were going to play ball NIL-wise, I think Auburn was blowing them out of the water NIL-wise. I think Auburn was killing it. And I think he was coming to Auburn up until about Tuesday of last week. I think it was official. He was going to flip. Auburn found out about it, made it really, really tough on him. Maybe even went even higher on what you could possibly earn at Auburn. But in the end, he chooses Georgia, the in-state school. And I get it. You know, it just kind of stinks because I feel like the pathway to playing time was a little bit better at Auburn, but that is your home in-state school. That's your dream school. So it is what it is. What's Auburn going to do at running back now? I think they're going to continue to recruit Usman Chroma and Shekhi Mills-Knight, and that's it. If they can flip one of those guys, fantastic. If not, they're totally willing to go into the portal. I think they're totally 100% willing. There's going to be a ton of running backs in the portal that you can choose from, and I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue to add someone that's probably pretty talented, even if you don't get one of those two guys. If you get one of those two guys, you may still go to the portal, but if you get one of those two guys, you're fine with either one. So I think that's what's going to happen. Those two, you take one or the other, first one to flip, first one to get in, and then you're done at running back. You don't. We're not going down the board unless somebody just explodes out of the blue late. And I think if neither one of those guys flip, which there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that that would happen, then they'll move on. They'll go to the portal. And I think a guy to watch, everybody needs to remember the name. And the only reason I'm saying this is I'm not saying that Auburn's, you know, communicating or anything like that, but I do know Auburn is going to be a tough out to not flip Nyheim Offord. I think it's going to be tough for Auburn at this point in time not to flip Nyheim Offord. I feel like that is tracking in that direction. And he has a brother that is a running back right now at Tulane who's having a fantastic season. Mekhi Hughes, could that be a package deal? Ohio State is already sort of given up, on Nyheim. So even their beat riders, all that stuff. So that's going to be definitely one to watch. I think if Auburn were to move away from one of their two targets, when I say move away, I just mean if you can't land one of them, I'm going to watch out for a portal guy. And I got my eye on Mekhi Hughes. Having a great season. Look him up. He's kind of killing it. So far. So I hope y'all enjoyed that interview. Let's hit the chat. Let's have some fun. If you want to make sure that your chat gets read, your question gets read, hit the super chat and we'll make sure that it happens. So let's dive in, have some fun. I see one right off the bat and it's kind of related to the topic. Johnny Barner, why the portal for a running back? We have Cobb and Alston that's ready and Henderson coming in. Quite frankly, you just got to have more than three running backs. You really need more than three running backs in general for health purposes. It's very rare. I know we haven't had any injuries yet, but you just need more running backs. And Alvin is a guy who is really very talented. I think he's a stud, but you got to think about the jump in classification or the jump in competition he's making from this year playing 1A football. Now, granted, he's just doo-doo and all over everybody in that classification. It doesn't matter who you put him up against. He's going to score five touchdowns and run for 300-plus yards. Like, so he dominates everybody that he plays against, but it's still a big jump from – it's still a huge jump from 1A to SEC. So he may not be 100% ready to go right off the bat. So I think a portal guy or at least one of those other two guys makes a lot of sense because they're a little bit more, you know – physically ready, they'd probably be a little bit more physically ready, and they played, at least a little bit closer to the competition that they'll face at the collegiate level. So that's why I just don't think it's smart to go into the year next year with just Cobb, Alston, and then Alvin. I don't think that's wise. One injury and you're lookout. One injury and you're sweating bullets. So. Let's see what happens. That's kind of how I feel this thing's going to go with running back, though. So let's keep going through the questions. Hey, Woody's Roundup. Hey, fired up that you noticed that. He didn't have a question, but he wanted to shout out to the Fields in LaGrange. Best logo in golf. That's my visor. They got the mule with the putter in the mouth. That's a fun golf course in LaGrange, Georgia. So y'all definitely got to check that out. 10 bonus points for Woody's Roundup for noticing that. Let's see here. Let's go through. Tim Toolman Taylor, Hugh playing 4D chess with Juju. I mean, I think so. I think that was a bit of a create your own destiny. You got to create your own destiny type situation. You kind of got to create some drama to give yourself some leverage and sort of force it to happen. So I think that was actually a really smart move for him. And again, I think you could have gotten Juju if you really needed to, but in the back of your mind, I think Deuce Knight was the guy. And I think Deuce Knight is probably the more that I watch him, the more that I watch the offense that he runs, it's a very RPO friendly offense. He runs a ton of RPOs. And I thought Juju was the guy that ran more RPO stuff than Deuce, but I think it's pretty equal. I think it's pretty even. And then you got the measurables that Deuce has the Mississippi connection, the connection with a lot of the commits already. I think when Juju came, the visit was a little awkward, a little bit standoffish with some of the guys because, I mean, he brings a lot of fanfare around him, and Deuce doesn't really do that. Deuce just kind of fits in. He just kind of fits with his class. So I think it was something I do think it was a little bit of a 4D chess move there. So that's something you gotta that you can definitely look forward to. Jonathan Decker, you reckon Chroma sees Hunter getting like 12 to 13 carries a game, and that contributes to his choice? Well, did a Georgia running back have more carries? I don't know that that's the case. I think Jarquez may have more carries than Trevor or whatever his name is, ETN. I'll have to look at it, but Georgia didn't seem like they were just pounding the ball with, you know, with a ton of carries. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's – I think I'm right actually there. Let's see, the most the running back with the most carries in the SEC is Jaquinnon Jackson, obviously, from Arkansas. Jarquez Hunter has more carries than Trevor Etienne by, let's see here, 78 to 52. So do that math, 26. Is that right? Yeah, 26 more carries than Trevor Etienne. So definitely don't think – Peyton Thorne has more carries than Trevor Etienne. Now, look, I know Georgia typically has – I know Georgia typically has more of a true or a real running back that's, you know, 220 pounds that's that can be a, more of a bell cow, and they don't really have that this year. So I can see that maybe I can see that maybe that's you know, that plays a little bit of role into him not getting as many touches in per game. So I don't think. I mean, if that's the case, then whoever at Auburn is recruiting, if that was the deciding factor, they didn't do a good job selling it because Jarquez has 26 more carries than, you know, Georgia's running back. So, no, I don't think that's the case. Let's see. Do you think, Connie, for AU, do you think we get more than one quarterback in the portal, or does it depend on if we have more than Holden leave? Really good question. So I honestly thought that if the Deuce thing kept going on, he wasn't going to end up either sticking with Notre Dame and not maybe going or maybe flipping to like Ole Miss or even Texas. I think Texas kind of came on a little bit late. And if that were to happen, I thought Auburn would definitely go get two quarterbacks. I think they'd have a young guy, and then I think they'd have obviously a one-year guy. Now I'm not so sure. I'm gonna be honest, Connie. I don't think Holden's leaving. I think Holden loves Auburn. I think Holden would be totally fine, you know, competing, pushing for you know, pushing for time. I mean, he could have left three times now. Like he's there's been portal window after portal window where it made sense for him to leave. I mean, he's third string right now, at best. So, like, it made sense for him to go after spring. It made sense for him to go after December. It made sense for him to go the year before when we went into the portal to get Peyton Thorne. But he keeps staying. I think the kid loves Auburn, and I think he'd be fine just go ahead and staying and graduating, maybe being a coach. I don't really know what his major is, but I just don't know that he's going to leave. But if he does leave, that gives you you bring in your one-year portal guy. That gives you Hank, Walker, and Deuce. That's a that's four quarterbacks. I don't think you need anybody in the portal. So I guess it yes, to answer your question, it would take more than Holden leaving for them to have to go get another quarterback now that you got Deuce. Now obviously Deuce could flip. I don't think that's going to happen, but if that happens, then you know, maybe that's a scenario where you get two guys. But otherwise, I think you're good with what you got. Let's see here. Let's go back to let's go one of our regulars, NH3425. I know Cunningham said he was locked into Bama, but man, you can't buy into any commits until they're on the field. C5, what do you think of Caleb Cunningham potentially being swayed to AU? I would say that if Auburn's record was better, this would be a kid that Caleb is a guy who I think he's a great player, and this, don't take this as me downplaying his talent or anything, but he's a guy that's easily swayed by the environment he's in. He's easily he gets caught up in the moment. So I think if Auburn, I think if everything was equal, I think Auburn might be the spot. But with, you know, Auburn starting off 2-4, Alabama starting off hot, and you're seeing what Ryan Williams is doing. Now, KLS is being very impressive too, so it shows that Auburn can exploit a number one wide receiver as well. But I think if you had a little bit of a better record, you might have a better shot to flip him, because I do think he loves Deuce Knight, and I think that's a big pull. It would be a really long shot, and if it happens, I don't think you hear anything about it. There will be no momentum moving that way until close to the end of the year. Maybe Auburn gets him in on a visit. Auburn goes on a little bit of a run. Hopefully, Auburn gets him in for a visit late in the year, and then you have sort of like a signing day flip, if at all. But again, I don't think I would put his chances of flipping at 5% or less. I just don't have a lot of confidence there. I just do not have a lot of confidence there at all. This is funny, Anthony Rudd. Once we switch to Nike, we'll all be fine. I was joking during the game, and I should have tweeted. I thought it'd been funny. Jarquez felt like he was tripping all night long. Like, it felt like he was so close to breaking one, but he was tripping. Like, he'd be stumbling for 10, 15 yards. And he did it against Oklahoma as well. That last big run that he had, he's fallen the whole time. And I was like, dang it, we need those Nike cleats. If he had those Nike cleats, he would have scored 4 touchdowns against Georgia. Obviously, that's a joke, but yeah, we need to get that dude. Once we switch to Nike, everybody's going to be better. But that's really funny. That's a good point. Let's see. This is a good one. This is a really good question. Alan Brooks. Are Perry and Bryce not ready as other receivers? Would love to see Perry out there more. I would love to see Perry out there more as well. And he can't redshirt now, so you're going to start seeing more of him, I believe. And he played actually a lot yesterday, especially towards the end of the game. They gave him a couple of shots to make plays, and he's just maybe not quite there yet. He's a very willing and very good blocker, and he's big, and he will get after you on run blocking. So that is going to help him continue to get more snaps. And I think as the year progresses, you're going to start to see more and more of Perry. Now, Bryce, on the other hand, I think he really needs this year to just sort of get acclimated and work on his body and get a little bit bigger, because he's got electric speed, but he's a really small guy. And once you can get once Robert Lewis is gone, and you really got to, you know, start working that slot again with Malcolm Simmons, and maybe Bryce could be Malcolm's backup. Or, I mean, Malcolm could play anywhere. He could play inside or outside. I don't think it's anything to do with the playbook or anything with Bryce. I think it's just, you know, size, keep him healthy, redshirt him, and you know, get bigger, keep working. Perry has had a little bit of playbook issues, learning the plays, figuring out what to do. So I think that's limited him a little bit. But it seems like they're getting ready to put him out there in more and more situations so he can be ready for next year. Again, man, if he'd have come down, I wish he would have come down with that catch, that one ball they threw to him at the end zone towards the end of the game. I think it would have been big. We got a super chat coming in. It's Thomas Jones, one of our regulars. As soon as that thing hits, definitely going to go back to that one. Let's see. Here's a good one. Jamie Reese. Would love your final thoughts on the 4th-and-1. Hugh's comments made me feel Peyton went rogue there, which is concerning. Your thoughts. So, okay, what was asked of Hugh at the end of the game? They asked him, number one, what was the call? And Hugh said it was a dive left. And then the second question was asked him was, did Peyton have a read there? To which he responded, no, he did not have a read there. Now, here's my thing, okay? I think Peyton, number one, you can't do that. If you hand the ball off to Jarquez, you get a first down. You can see the overhead shots. Everybody blocked left. Everybody blocked to the left. Everybody was going that way. Jarquez, whenever he audible, Jarquez didn't even really know what to do because there was not really supposed to be an audible out of that play. That's why he just goes and blocks the guy in front of him instead of, if it's a read, he actually has to sell that he's running the ball left so that defensive end will chase him, but he didn't do that. He like kind of went to block. And then after the play, he kind of threw his hands up like, I had no idea what we're doing. So here's the thing. Clearly in Peyton's mind, he felt like there was a check to an audible from there. Now, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that is a formation that's similar to another. And I will say this. Schematically, it may look like Peyton made the right decision because there was a free edge guy there. And if that guy crashes down, Peyton pulls it and he can get an easy couple of yards. Even with the DBs crashing down too, I think he could have possibly gotten the first down. Okay, so schematically, Peyton may have made the right call there if you're just looking at it from just that standpoint. But the problem is, situationally, it made no sense. Situationally, even if that's the read, let's just live in a world where there was a read there. I don't think there was. I do think he either A, thought he had permission to do it and didn't, or whatever, but let's live in the world where there is a read there. I think there's times where Peyton makes the right decision, but it's the wrong decision, if that makes sense. Situationally, it's the wrong decision. You don't have to get 7 yards there. You don't have to get 12 yards there. You don't have to get us into the big play right there. All you got to do is get 1 yard. That's it. All you needed was one yard. You did not need five. So if you give it to Jarquez and he doesn't get it, then it's like, okay, well, that was clearly not the right play. Like, that play wasn't going to work. But I want to get to a point. I want to see this offense get to the point where I like Tyler Siski said, when you go to the line of scrimmage, you have answers in this offense. You have a lot of answers. But I want to see that a lot of those answers, I want to see more of those answers be Jarquez. I want Jarquez to be the answer more times than not, whether it's run left, run white, run left, run right, or check to some kind of swing pass to Jarquez. Whatever you got to do, more of the answers need to become Jarquez and not pulling it and calling on Peyton's number or pulling it and throwing it deep or whatever. Like, we just got to get to a point where, yeah, you may have followed the rules. Yeah, you may have done – you may can go on a press conference and tell everybody exactly why – you did what you did, and it may make sense. And schematically, it may be correct. But at that point in time, all you needed was 1 yard, and we had their defense 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage on the left side, which is what Hugh said was the call to dive left. So that was my thoughts, Jamie. That's my thoughts on fourth and one. Here we go, Thomas Jones. I know it's early, but in your opinion, is there a quarterback that might hit the portal for more exposure playing at Auburn? I know it's early, but in your opinion, is there a QB that might hit the portal for more exposure playing at Auburn? So that's okay. That's the first part of the question. Okay. That's kind of tough because obviously, who could that be? I mean, you can't be talking to kids right now, so you don't know who that could possibly be. So I think you're just looking at young guy, or you're looking at guys that are 1 year guys that could possibly bolt take a step up, whether it be from a smaller Power Five conference, take a step up, or somebody that's from a, you know, playing really, really well at a G5 school that could go up. So let's just go and look at who are the national leaders in passing right now. So national leaders in passing, you have Josh Hoover from TCU. I think they played poorly this past game. He's a sophomore at TCU. He's third in the, as far as total yards passing, he's number three. I'm sorry. Hold on. Josh Hoover. He's number two in the country in total yards passing. So could that be a guy? TCU's in the Big 12. The Big 12's kind of as far as everything goes, as this whole conference realignment stuff is going. Could he be somebody that wants to level up? I tell you who I really liked watching was SMU's quarterback. His last name was Jennings. That would be a fun kid, I think, that really fits the offense. He's not really lighting it up from a passing scenario, but I think he's a sophomore, and he plays – he runs the ball really well. He's exciting. I think he would be probably a good fit. But, you know, SMU's in the ACC now, and they're looking like they could possibly be one of the teams that ends up, you know, being an ACC powerhouse. I mean, you're a Texas school in the ACC that's a sort of a little bit of a weak conference anyway. That could be somebody that you look at that could, you know, he may want to stick at SMU though. So it's, again, this is tough, but like these are all guys that I've just been watching that are, that may have like one or 2 years left that could possibly make it. Hey, Arizona's quarterback's really good. Noah Fifita, he's young. I'm just looking at this passing thing. He is right now 26th in the country in total yards, and he's completing – let's see. He completes – I feel like he completes a high percentage of his passes, 61% of his passes. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, but, hey, he's thrown 6 interceptions. So, again, it's hit or miss. There's a lot of guys – I think that's what you got to look at, though. Who are the guys that have 1 year left or so that you could possibly get? Because I think that's all you want is a 1 year quarterback. So last part of his question, not piling on, but Keontae Scott is more of a liability every week at DB. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he didn't play a ton. I need to go look at his stats. I think they ended up pulling him and putting in someone else. Now again, I could be wrong. But I'm agreeing with you in saying that I think it does seem like he is really, really struggling this year. He's, you know, really struggling this year as far as, you know, compared to where he was last year. So, let's see. On defense, you look at total snaps from corners and defensive backs. Jay Crawford led the team with the most snaps from there. Kay and Lee, Caleb Harris. Let's see. You go down the list. Kinsley Ladore Faustin came in a good bit. Haven't seen him a lot until this year. I mean, until this game. So he played a good bit. And then you keep going down, and I don't even see. Keontae Scott only played 18 snaps out of 68. Jaron Thompson never came off the field. Apparently he played every single snap. 60. So that just goes to show you, and Thomas has been telling us for a couple of weeks now, he is cutting into his playing time. It is definitely, these young guys are starting to step up and play. So it's definitely cutting into his playing time. Anthony Rudd, he didn't. Jay Crawford is the man now. He's answering the question for you. He didn't play a ton. Jay Crawford is a baller. I love that child. He is unreal. He's a willing tackler at DB, and he can cover. I love it. I love it. So, that was a good question. Quarterback's tough because you don't know You don't 100% know because nobody's in the portal yet. Jonathan DeBoe. Like that last name. Apparently, Jake Crane has some info on who they may be targeting in the portal this offseason. It wouldn't shock me. I mean, he's very connected. So that I haven't talked to him, so I don't know who that name might be. But I think I did hear people say that he mentioned something about that. He mentioned something about that on Zach's show last week. You got to have a guy. You got to have a guy that comes in. You got to have a 1 year holdover. And then think about this. Let's just think about this. Okay. So let's say you get a top portal quarterback. Okay. You get a guy that can compete. He's got 1 year and he's ready to roll. Okay. Then you add you a 2026 top, you know, top rated recruit. You're going to roll into 2026 and your room is going to be Hank Brown as I believe he'll be a redshirt junior, which is awesome. You're going to have Walker White, who's going to be a redshirt sophomore. You're going to have Deuce Knight, who's going to be a redshirt freshman. And then you'll have a stud 2026 guy, and let the battle commence and let's see what happens. And now you actually have a real high level QB room, quarterback room. I think Hanks got the ability to be a high-level quarterback. Walker White definitely has the tools to be a high-level quarterback. And Deuce Knight has more tools than all of them to be a high-level quarterback. Let that battle rage when they're all been in here at least 1 year and they're all seasoned. I think that's something that you can be excited about. I think that's something to really look forward to. But yeah, that's what I think about there. NH3425, Aaron Nolan. I think the dream of Aaron Nolan died whenever we finally flipped Deuce. I think that was going to be the plan. I think he might have wanted to come to Auburn this past go around, and some things, you know, he obviously didn't go into the portal. But I think he had communicated that Auburn might be a landing spot. He's a little bit homesick. I may want to, you know, get back close to home, but I don't think that dream is going to be alive anymore. And that's fine. It kind of is what it is. Let's go. Let's answer a couple more on call tonight. Let's see. Yeah. Let's talk about the Jonathan DeBoe again. Man, our linebackers for 2026, Riddick, Barber, and Melendez, that's going to be fun to watch. Have you seen Melendez's midseason highlight film? Y'all need to go follow him on Twitter. He just posted it. I mean, I'm honestly worried. The only thing I'm worried about with him is will his body be able to handle the beating that he gives it every single game? Like, he is so ferocious. He's such a fun linebacker to watch. He's a beast. He's a beast. Go follow him on Twitter and watch his highlight film. Couple more. And, yeah, Johnny Barner. Riddick and Melendez are going to ruin careers 100%. It's going to be hard to keep Melendez off the field. I mean, physically, it's going to be hard to keep that kid off the field. He is going to hurt people. And I'm very, very excited about it. I'm going to take one more, and we're going to call it a night. Crawford, Harris, Riddick, and Blockton need to play the rest of the year. Only breaks for rest. Hey, get an oxygen tank, get some IVs ready, and get them boys out there and get after it. I agree. Those dudes, and I'll throw you already said Crawford, Harris, Riddick, Blockton. I love those cats right there on defense, and they've all been playing. They're not just playing like freshmen. They're playing really good. So, hey, this revolution of Kinsley Ladore Faustin, that might be one interesting to watch as well. He made a couple of plays. I know he got beat at least once, but there was a play where I felt like he could have made it was actually a tackle. He missed a tackle that was tough, but he looks pretty good in coverage, made a big play on one of their guys early. And I remember like, dang, I don't even know who that number is. And it was Kinsley. So that was good. Good for him to see. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Kale. Secretly, I kind of hoped his name was pronounced Kyle, but, you know, it is what it is. We could have had that bond. But he's going to be a player for Auburn. He's going to be a beast moving forward, and really, really fired up to have him. Go ahead and have him reclassified and in the class. If you haven't subscribed to The Barn yet, please do. What are you doing with yourself? Get in there and mix it up, man. We have some really, really good conversations, really, really good info. It's a ton of fun. Only $1 for your first month. And then you can decide if you like it or not. If you like it, great. Keep rolling. It's $9.95 after that. If you hate it, you're only out $1. There's not many investments like that out there where you can potentially find a community that will exceed all your expectations, and you get to try it for $1. So I really appreciate it if you guys gave that a shot. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. You know we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. You guys are awesome. Stay buttoned.